All right, this morning I'm going to talk about promoting African American health using text message and social media. And it's hashtag heart healthy and cancer free. So it's a presentation about heart health and cancer health. These are my acknowledgments. I have no disclosures. I'm supposed to have a slide. I have no disclosures or no conflict, so I'm just going to say it. I don't have the slide. And so here's my dream team, and we call the dream team. Some of them are in the room. We're called a dream team because we're disparities researchers equalizing access for minorities. That's our acronym, dream team. And here's the people who helped with that study. So the purpose of the study I'm talking about today was to test the impact and feasibility of a social media and text messaging intervention on cancer and cardiovascular outcomes in African Americans. So this was a pilot study, and the long-term goal, of course, of this, the whole program of research is to try to eliminate health disparities for this group by decreasing multiple risk factors. But the immediate goal of this pilot study was just to see how it would work to do a texting and social media intervention on multiple outcomes. So we wanted to look at blood pressure, BMI, waist circumference, lipid profile, hemoglobin A1C, and cancer screening behaviors. So the reason, and I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here a little bit, and I'm going to speed through my background slides, but the reason we combine those two is because we have some pretty serious disparities in heart disease and cancer for African Americans, breast cancer being the second leading cause of cancer-related deaths, and the five-year survival rate for African Americans. Basically, one in four women diagnosed with breast cancer for African Americans will be dead in 5 years. For a European American woman, that's about 90% of them will be alive in 5 years. So there's still a pretty stunning health disparity in breast cancer and other cancers. Heart disease, African Americans have the highest rates of hypertension or prevalence of hypertension of any ethnic group in the world, not just the U.S., but in the world. 80% of all African Americans likely to become hypertensive in their lifetime. And half of all African American women are likely to die from either a stroke or heart disease. Cancer, same kind of numbers we have here. Highest mortality of any racial ethnic group from all cancers combined and most of the major cancers. So why do we put them together? Because many of the modifiable risk factors for both cancer and heart disease are the same. Now that's the modifiable risk factors. The American Heart Association and the American Cancer Association say that these are some of the common risk factors for both cardiovascular disease and cancer. That's lack of physical activity, lack of access or ingestion of fresh fruit and vegetables, smoking, obesity, access to primary health care. Those are just some of the things that we have in common for both cancer and cardiovascular disease, meaning we could probably intervene on both diseases at the same time. So the theory that underpins this study is the theory of planned behavior. And in a nutshell, it says you can change behavior based on these three things: people's attitudes, their subjective norms, and their perceived behavioral control. And so that's really based on whether they feel like they can control the behavior or the outcome's going to be within their reach, if there's significant others in their group approve or disapprove of the behavior, and if there's resources and or barriers to adopting the healthy behavior. So we did this was a pilot study. It was a one group pre-test, pre and post-test intervention, just to get some data here. We had 40 people. One person had to leave right at the end, so I'm saying it was 39. Participants were recruited from our local community. We collected data at baseline and post-intervention, which the intervention was 3 months long. And then because we're trying to look at feasibility, we did focus groups at the end. So here's our inclusion and exclusion criteria. You need to say that you're African American. You need to be over 50 because that's the age when cancer and heart disease are most prevalent. And you had to have at least two of these risk factors to be in the study, placing you at risk for having either cardiovascular disease or cancer. And you were excluded if you had active cancer or coronary artery disease or cardiovascular disease, because you would be on some medications or other things under treatment that would confound the study. And here's what we measured during the study. As I said, blood pressure, lipids, hemoglobin A1C, BMI, waist circumference. We did depression, physical activity. And with physical activity, we asked a single point question. Do you engage in at least 30 minutes of moderate activity 4 times a week? We checked their cancer screening, that was also self-report, and their cancer screening knowledge. So here's how our intervention worked. For 12 weeks, we sent 2 to 3 text messages a day. They were targeted text messages. They weren't tailored to what the people said in the or what we got in their baseline, but they were targeted to what the criteria were. The participants were able to reply to our text messages. They could ask questions. We had nurses, doctoral students, program managers. We were answering the questions. Everybody got all of the messages. We didn't tailor the messages, but everybody just got all of them. We had a library of more than 250 messages that we developed based on our preliminary studies, and they were SMS, like short messages. And they also got longer messages with links to websites like the American Cancer Society and American Heart Association. So here's an example of the kind of messages we used. And this example shows you, based on the theory of planned behavior, how we design the messages based on the theory of planned behavior. For example, on the concept of attitudes, that's determined by your belief about performing a behavior. So an example of that message might be reducing your body weight by 5 to 10% can reduce your blood pressure by 10 points. Let's just say that so that I don't have to struggle with the MMHG. So that's kind of an informational message. That's what you get for an attitude message. Subjective norms: protect the health of your entire family. Take a walk together every evening after dinner. So you can see how that plays into a subjective norm. So using the theory of planned behavior, we developed a library of 250 messages, both about cancer and heart disease. Did I go the wrong way? Yeah. So there was also a social media component to this. I could try to link to it, but when I tried it in practice here in the center, it didn't work. But if you clicked on that, you would see our Facebook, and we had a blog. Nobody liked the blog. It was lovely. Erica is in the audience, and we developed that blog, my doctoral student here, and nobody went to it. Facebook, however, people like Facebook a lot better. And we, each week, our doctoral students would update the Facebook page, also based on the theory of planned behavior and the messaging that we were using. I just keep going backwards. So here's what our sample looked like. Like I said, we had 39 people. They were mostly females. The average age was right around 60, 58. You had to be 50 to be in the study. There was a mix of married and single people. There was a mix, as you would expect at that age, of full-time workers and retired people. We ask a financial comfort question rather than what is your sheer income. So you can see there's a good mix of people that felt like they had more than enough money to make ends meet. Some had just enough, and then there were a good mix of people who had not enough or thought their perception was they had not enough money to make ends meet. And as you would expect in the era of the Affordable Care Act, most people were insured. So here's what we found. On the variable of perceived health, how they perceived their health, there was no difference between pre- and post-intervention. So you didn't change how you felt about yourself, about your health. On weight, as you can see, people weighed a little bit more when they finished the intervention. Now, my explanation for that is that they gained muscle mass, and I'm sticking with that. I'm not going to change that, no matter what you say after this presentation. But actually, you can see, and you can see their BMI, of course, went up because they didn't get any taller, but they got a tiny bit fatter. So their BMI stayed the same. That was significant, unfortunately. But their blood pressure was reduced. You can see that their blood pressure was significantly reduced, both systolic and diastolic. Actually, there was no change in hemoglobin A1C. We tested this too quick. 3 months is not quick enough to see a change. It's not long enough to see a change in hemoglobin A1C. Their total cholesterol went down significantly, LDL and HDL. Triglycerides trending down. Their heart disease knowledge increased, and their adherence increased. So we saw some significant changes here. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep going backwards. That's wasting like 30 seconds there. In terms of cancer screening, we didn't see significance, but what we saw is people get mammograms, PSAs, digital rectal exams, and colonoscopies during that 3 months that we conducted the study. And we'll go forward. The focus group was what was most important to us because we wanted to check on feasibility. So overall, people loved this study. They absolutely loved it. They shared their messages with their friends and family. They told us they wished the study were longer. They still run into us and say, I wish you'd be sending me messages. They enjoyed that. Some of their suggestions were that we put in simple exercises that they could do at home, that they meet each other. These are African Americans over the age of 50. They wanted to know each other and have cohorts. They wanted more Facebook things. They actually wanted us to call them. The purpose of the study was to see if I could do a hands-off kind of intervention, but they wanted us to call them. They wanted to include more stress. Here's some of the things they said they did as a result of the study. Lost weight, that's not true. Some of them said they gained weight, but they had a lot of positive things to say. So what can we conclude? We made some significant changes in modifiable risk factors just in a 12-week text messaging and social media study. It is feasible to provide this information and motivation using a texting and social media platform. And it's a highly relevant way to influence risk for cancer and cardiovascular disease. So, of course, because this is what we do for a living, we designed a randomized controlled trial that would actually test the efficacy and cost effectiveness of this intervention. It went to NINR, we got a decent score, and it's being resubmitted probably today as we speak. And so we'll really get to see in a large randomized controlled trial. We know it's feasible now, and we'll get to see in a large randomized controlled trial how effective it is and how cost effective it is. Thank you.